Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Disney's a dump.
Here we go.
When you're a Celtic, you know, you get the save.
Cordeschi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
We like it a lot. Not bad.
Your hosts, Scott Cordeschi and Nick Coit.
Chances Celtics win a title are, by my calculations,
0%.
Can you tell that I really like Nick Wright, by the way?
And here we go.
Go!
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Cordeschi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI. Scott Cordeschi, Nick Coit with you, Joe Passarelli on the other side of the glass. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Scott.
What's going on?
Nothing. Apparently, we're surfing.
You like that?
This is, wow.
Or collaborated with Quentin Tarantino.
I was going to say, either that or we're listening to the Black Eyed Peas.
You're a little bit upset with our producer this morning, Joe Passarelli, aren't you?
So I walk in today.
Dueling hats, by the way.
I walk in today, and I guess I haven't noticed it in the past. Maybe I have, and I just don't know it. But I walk in, and my radar always goes up when I see this logo. It makes me double take. It makes me gag a little bit. It just makes me, you know... I love Joe. I love the work that he does with us on Saturday mornings.
Thank you,
and
sir.
There are a lot of wonderful things about Joe Passarelli. There are some flaws, though. With all of us. We all have flaws.
Of course.
We all do. But this one,
Having a hard time overlooking this one.
It's tough. It just makes you think a little differently.
Feel like the enemy of the state's working the boards there, Coit?
He's just, when you wear that logo, and it's in red, too. It's not your typical pinstripes. It's just, it's in red. That's what really threw me off. It's like you're like the NWO Wolfpack there, pal.
That's
a wrestling
right, man.
Reference
too
right
sweet.
There.
Wolfpack,
see?
Baby.
There you go. There's your wrestling reference for Joe, which is a very good thing about Joe. He's a wrestling fan. We share that. But wearing that Yankees logo. Oh! Ooh.
Meanwhile, you got your Sox hat on this morning.
Yeah! Sox!
I can't believe you didn't know that about Joe, though.
I think maybe I did, and I just didn't notice, but I just walked in as the first thing I saw today. I said, Joe.
If I could have a brief 45 seconds to explain,
okay.
It is my villainous father, rest in peace's fault. He used my mom's money to bet on the World Series when the Red Sox had you, Skramski. Don't think that ended up well for my dad or the Red Sox, so that's why he went with the pinstripes for the rest of his life.
Carl Yastrzemski. Carl Yastrzemski.
That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
All right.
All right. Anyways, so that's how our morning started here today.
Hey, Coit, you've dominated the past two decades, buddy.
Hey, you know what?
I think it's 4-1 since the year 2000.
Yes. That's true. Yeah, but you know what the response is going to be from all of our Yankee listeners out there. Forget about it. You got the 27 World Championships,
I can.
27.
I can see Craig from Warwick fumbling
forget
for his phone
it,
right
huh?
now to text me.
Hey, you gonna go
Joe
to the
Passarelli
beautiful
on Facebook?
Gonna go to the beautiful ballpark in the Bronx. Oh yeah. It really is, I'll tell you. I was telling Joe.
Now that said,
yeah.
I don't have a lot of hope for the Red Sox this year.
With that
starting rotation.
I will say this.
Oh.
I will say this. As much as that logo and everything I just said, you want to talk about gagging. You're right. When I think about the Red Sox rotation this year, and I think about how stacked the Yankees are, and they add Garrett Cole, who's maybe the best pitcher in baseball, and the lineup that they have, oh boy, Yankees growing to be, they're going to be, first of all, they're going to be fun to watch. If you're a baseball fan, they're going to be fun to watch, because they got some hitters.
But I will say this, the extremely shortened season that may level the playing field for some teams like the Red Sox against the Yankees, right?
Yes.
Now, who knows? Maybe the Yankees are that good. They're going to come out right away, be on fire, and just take control of the division and run away with it. But when you shorten the season to 60 games like they're doing here, I think that brings some of these other teams into play.
Yeah,
you know, that could work against a great team that is stacked like the Yankees.
Well, think about, and some experts have been talking about how a team like the Tampa Bay Rays may really benefit from this because of their innovative, you know, using the opener and whatnot, using their full pitching staff. When you're talking about 60 games over 162,
right,
that can work, yep, and that can last a while. So that's a team I think I look at and I say that's that is dangerous. It really is.
Did you go to Fenway the other day for the inter-squad scrimmage when Eovaldi pitched?
I wasn't there for the squad, the inter-squad scrimmage.
I guess you look good. What, four innings, one
four
hit?
Four scoreless.
Yep. Yeah, four scoreless innings, one hit baseball, four strikeouts, I think.
I watched it, and it was he looks sharp. He does, and he's got the velocity there, too. The troubling part is, you know, first of all, Eduardo Rodriguez is dealing with coronavirus.
Now, is there any word on the severity of it with Erod and a timetable for his return?
So all Renicki said was he's feeling better but not 100%. So okay, it wasn't a case like Bobby Dalbec, the prospect. He's asymptomatic,
yeah,
or has been so far. So, yes, he has it, but he's sort of waiting to see when he gets a negative test, whatever, he can get over it. And with Rodriguez, he's gotten some of the symptoms. So just don't know when, you know, there's no timetable. That's the tough part with
right,
with this virus, is that if players pick it up, Scott, you know, first of all, they're going to have to test negative a few different times. I mean, Rafael Devers, I don't know if he ever actually tested positive, but they said they tested him three times before they brought him back over to Fenway Park because he had possibly been in contact with somebody. Negative three times before they brought him back. So you got to think with Rodriguez, they're going to be careful.
Look at the Dallas FCS team, right? I mean, they were all tested, I think, on Thursday before a Saturday flight.
Yeah.
And then they get to Orlando, and half the team tests positive, for crying out loud. They have to pull out of MLS. And, you know, they're saying, well, maybe we should have been tested the day before. I mean, it's just, you just don't know how quickly this thing can spread.
It's tough.
And you don't know about the severity of it. Many guys, particularly young athletes that are healthy, it's going to be asymptomatic, right?
Sure.
And there's going to be that 1 in 20 young guys where it's going to hit them hard. That's why, Nick, and it kind of leads me into one of the things I wanted to talk about. I'm still very pessimistic about sports, the resumption of sports. And I know the NBA and NHL are kind of going into their bubbles, right? All the NBA teams, Celtics included, are down in the Orlando bubble as we speak. The Celtics held their first workout yesterday. And for the Bruins and the rest of the NHL, it's Toronto or Edmonton, okay? That's where those bubbles will be. Major League Baseball is not going to have a bubble. They're going to be traveling from city to city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, they've kind of cut down on that travel, so AL East teams will play within their division and within the NL East, but still there's going to be travel involved. But earlier this week, a big story was that the Ivy League announced on Wednesday that they are canceling all fall sports competition through the end of the first semester. And I emphasize the end of the first semester. The first semester of the fall semester ends in the middle of December. So that doesn't just impact fall athletics and football and soccer and sports like that. That also impacts winter sports like basketball, hockey, and others, right? Because
right,
those start up. Their seasons begin. Hockey starts in late October. I'm talking about actual games, practice well before that. And basketball, their games start at the very beginning of November. So this is really big stuff. And I hate to say it, but I'm very pessimistic given what's going on in this country right now about seeing college sports this fall. And I know these Power 5 conferences, they want to play. They want to play football in the worst way because they know all the money that it generates for those athletic programs and those universities. And we've seen a couple of big time conferences, Power 5 conferences, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 most recently come out and say, we're playing conference games only.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to limit travel to only conference schools, and that's it. The other three Power 5 conferences, the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC, have said they will make their decisions before the end of this month, the end of July. Now, the SEC was the first to hint toward maybe playing only conference play. about a month ago, month and a half, I remember reading that the SEC said, if we have to, we'll play only conference games.
Yep.
And so I thought that's where we might be heading. I think an interesting fly in the ointment, Notre Dame. They're technically a football independent, but they have six ACC teams on their schedule, and they're a member of the ACC in all other sports. So I think the ACC will just absorb them and say, we'll give you a 10-12-game schedule. We'll make this work. You're essentially in the ACC for football this year, too.
Right.
But this, you know, what about UConn, who's now a football independent? What about UMass? What about Army? You know, schools like that. If I don't even know that just conference play is going to happen. That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, the sport of football, the NFL came out this week. I thought this was hilarious. No jersey swapping at the end of games. So let me see if I've got this right. You can spend 60 minutes, and that's only of game time, of real action, like literally pushing and shoving against each other, breathing and spitting on each other at the line of scrimmage. But after the game, you can't swap a game jersey with the guy from the other team. Really? Like, that's going to prevent you from getting the coronavirus.
You know, in fairness, they should have banned that years ago anyway.
I mean,
well, you don't like it, the jersey swap?
I mean, when you got, like, Enes Kanter and, like, I don't know, Tony Battee trading jerseys, it gets a little ridiculous.
How'd you come up with those two names? That's pretty good, Joe. Those are, like, far-reaching with their eras, Battee and Kanter. That's good. No, I like the jersey swap. I do. Because I think it's cool seeing, like, some of the guys in the NFL, you know, if you go to their houses or go to their, like, you know, man caves or whatever, to see all the jerseys that they've picked up from jersey swaps. It's actually, I think it's actually pretty cool. I think, I want to say it was OBJ had one of those. But the point is, you're right, Scott. And Mohamed Sanu actually tweeted out the same thing you just said. He was like, really? Like, we can swap jerseys? We can't swap jerseys, but we can play football.
We can,
like,
sweat all over, yeah, each other, right? Breathe, like, all over each other, like, spit all over each other, but after
dumb.
The game, we can't swap jerseys.
Doesn't make sense.
Huh?
It just doesn't make sense.
What?
So, yeah, I'm with you. And the key for me with the college sports, and when I read the Big Ten statement, the key for me was in the statement was, well, we pretty much reserve the right to change our minds about the fall sports season if we want to, which we're going to revisit this at some point here in the near future. And I don't know how feasible it is, Scott. I don't know how much it's going to conflict. I know when you have seasons overlapping and those sorts of things happening, it's tough on the schools, it's tough on the people, it can be tough on revenue, that sort of thing. But when I hear Lincoln Riley come out and support it, and I hear some other coaches say, yeah, I think we could do it, I sort of think, then why not give yourself the extra 6 months and say, let's do spring football. Let's start it in March, April. Let's play a conference-only schedule. And let's give ourselves the extra time and the chance to play football. Because right now, I'm with you, Scott, especially with college athletics, to have kids come back to school from all over the country and then play against other schools made up of kids from all over the country and have everything mix again and have everybody come in contact with each other. And it's kids, too. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't see how some of these fall sports are going
to
play.
I went on the radio in North Dakota, of all places, this past week.
Oh,
okay.
Interesting.
There's a Brown connection out there.
Gotcha.
So anyway,
okay.
They wanted to talk about the Ivy League's decision to not have fall sports competition. And so I went on the radio out there, and we started talking about it, and they asked me my opinion, and I said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see college football at all this fall. And then they said, well, but then what if that, you know, what if they want to play in the spring, and how does that impact, you know, the NFL, the draft, or star players going to pull out and say, I'm not playing in the spring, this, that, and the other thing? And I said, that's a possibility. I said, if it comes down to the fact that college football is canceled this fall, I think the NFL needs to get together with the NCAA and say, okay, because of these unique circumstances, here's what we're going to do. We are going to either postpone or move back the NFL scouting combine. We're going to move back the NFL draft. So you guys can have your season in the spring, okay? Mm-hmm. And we'll move all that stuff back, or maybe we'll eliminate the combine, whatever the case may be. The Senior Bowl, the combine, all that stuff, we're going to work with you so you can play football in the spring, and these other things will move them, right? I mean, that has to happen.
I think if you have these Power Five conferences playing in the spring, It is only to the detriment of the NFL to not have the kids that they're going to look at and potentially draft and put on tape for games.
Right.
It's only to their detriment to say, nah, we're going to hold on to where the draft is in April. Like, that doesn't make sense
because otherwise, there's no way that any kid that's going to be drafted isn't going to play. You know, Trevor Lawrence could say, I'm sorry, Dabo, I'm not playing.
Right.
In the spring.
Right.
So that's why the NFL needs to get with the Power Five and say, okay, let's work something out
here. Well, and I think that's an issue for after you make the decision to play in the spring. Like, right. You have to take it step by step here. And I know it's a big step. It's a big thing to think about, but it's only to the NFL's detriment. It really is.
And by the way, the Ivy League never came out and said we're pushing fall sports back to the spring. They said we're canceling all sports competition through the fall semester, the end of the fall semester. I think there's a lot of people that would like to see fall sports be played in the spring. Now, that brings up a whole, another whole set of problems, right?
Yes.
I mean, can you staff all these games? Because the Ivy League has more sports than any other conference.
Right.
So do you have enough staff to run lacrosse, soccer, football, all these sports at once? I mean, it would be crazy. But I just think right now it's just a wait-and-see attitude. Where are we going to be as a country and as a world with this virus come spring? Nick, I hate to sound like a pessimist, but when I see with what's going on right now in this country and in this, this virus just taking off once again, I would not be surprised if we don't have a college sports season, period. Mm. And I'm not just saying fall. I'm talking about fall, winter, spring.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Unless all of a sudden they come up with a vaccine and it is the cure-all, I don't know. I'm very pessimistic right now. And I'll even move that to pro sports to a lesser extent. I know pro sports is going to do everything they can. We're seeing it happen right now to resume. I just don't feel good about it. I don't. No. I hope I'm wrong because I want to be entertained and I want this to be safe for everybody. But I don't know.
To have the whole college sports season wiped out is just, to me, it's one of those thoughts. It's just like, oh, man, it just makes you sick to your stomach because of all the work that goes into it, what it represents for all these schools, these athletes, and the time that they put in and, trying to get to the professional level and all that. And we already had a spring season get wiped out. We didn't have the NCAA tournament, all those things. I'm sort of taking it season by season, step by step, so I haven't even thought about the spring yet, but, it gets closer and closer as we, come about here. But, when the Ivy League makes the decision it did, that was jarring because, like you said, Scott.
Don't forget, they were the first ones to make the decision in the fall.
Oh, I know.
When they canceled their men's and women's postseason tournaments up at Harvard, the whole world said, what?
Laughing.
What are they, crazy?
They were laughing.
Oh, my God, they're idiots. And then literally, it was a day or two later, Rudy Gobert tested positive. The NBA shut down and the whole world shut down sports.
Whole thing. Yeah, you're right. And there's some pretty smart people, I think, that are in cahoots with the Ivy League, wouldn't you say? People that know a lot of things. And, a lot of knowledge there. it's jarring when that happens. It's frustrating because you want these things to come back, but you have to take it step by step here. And you're right, Scott. The pro teams and the pro sports, they're pushing ahead right now. They are pushing ahead as much as they can. The NBA, to me, unless there's a big outbreak here the next few weeks when they're at camp or whatnot, they're going to play. They're all in Orlando now. They're there. The teams are there. They're going to play, or at least they're going to at least try. And they're going to, it's just, to me, it's going to be interesting when the first, outbreak happens with them. We've seen it a little bit with the MLS, with a couple of teams pulling out of that tournament, but they've kind of just played on. This team's pulled out of the tournament, and you just keep going. But with the NBA and the structure and whatnot, and say you start the postseason and a team gets an outbreak during a playoff series, does that team have to forfeit the series and pull out of it? These teams in sports are going to put up with a certain amount of cases and a certain amount of risk here with this virus to try to push ahead. That's just, to me, that's the feeling I get here. And, being in a bubble, the NBA and the NHL, I think that sort of helps their case in a way. Baseball is a little different because, as you said, they're going to be traveling city to city. So I'm interested to see how that works too. But these sports, they just, to me, they at the pro level, they're going to push ahead.
Does it make more sense to just from a college standpoint, and I can only think of two sports off the top of my head, but does it make more sense to maybe say, maybe we should move like a spring sport like baseball and golf to the fall, because those lend themselves to social distancing.
Yep.
So we can maybe somewhat safely play those in the fall and then take them off the table in the spring, right?
Oh, absolutely.
If we're going to consider moving some fall sports to the spring.
Flip them around.
I mean, I can't think of other sports. I mean, I'm sure there's some other sports that are quote-unquote, you know.
I think it was our friend Brendan McGeer from the Pawtucket Times with Soccer Call who wrote an article, I want to say it was about a month or two ago, about how, you know, the RIIL at the high school level should consider something like that and flipping around the sports if you're going to bring kids back to school. Because of what you just said, the social distancing aspect of baseball, and you have those sports play then, you have football move to the spring, you know, gives yourself, again, you give yourself, the Ivy League has just given itself 6 more months of time with this virus to try to figure out where we're at and things to improve in the country and all that to happen. 6 months is a long time. And that would help. I don't know if we're going to get a vaccine in that you know, those 6 months. I don't know what's going to happen. But the football season wouldn't start till what, March? You know, and I know you'd have to practice first, and so there's a little less time there. But still, you're going to have an idea of where you can go from here. And that to me is, so time is a big thing right now.
And look, I'm not smart enough to figure out what the right thing to do is in from this respect. I know that this virus does not have the impact on younger people that it does on older people, right? Mm-hmm. I know that many of the younger people are essentially asymptomatic and never show signs. But, I mean, I don't know what the right decision – can you mention the Interscholastic League?
Yeah.
If the Ivy League isn't playing sports this fall, how can the Rhode Island Interscholastic League or really any high school league in good conscience say, yeah, we can play football this fall?
It's a good question.
Or sports in general.
It's a good question. I think if there's a sport, football is the one that I'm like, man, it's high contact. It is high contact with different people from different places. And I know when you're playing high school sports, you know, you're in your own state and you're in, but still, I mean, it's just the high contact nature of it is I separate it from, say, and I know you get close to each other if you're playing like soccer. But there's a distance there. There's a wide margin. There's a field. You know, it's not like, yes, you come in contact at points, but not like football. I mean, football, every play, there's contact. You have to tackle the person who has the ball. Like, that is...
Right.
There's no social distancing
the
there.
The lineman.
It's, yeah, exactly. You're in the trenches for every... And what happens if one lineman gets coronavirus?
Right.
They're all going to get it. They're all standing next to each other for a whole game. Like, it's... Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it is so tricky to try to figure this out. So, yeah, to me, football is, the NFL, I don't know how they're going to go forward and do this. And the players right now, they aren't happy with the league because it really seems like the league is just sort of like, yeah, it'll be fine. Go ahead. Go out there. Yeah, it'll be fine. And the NFLPA is, no. No, we're going to come up with protocol. We're going to come up with testing, all that. The league just seems to be like trying to push ahead here, and they're starting to creep into the Major League Baseball territory with like the feuding. And we're not seeing it publicly as much, but there's been some bad reports out there saying like, well, they got to talk about this and that and the other thing, and there's a lot to figure out here. And with the players, I mean, they are not afraid to be vocal in the NFL.
Somebody just texted lacrosse and rugby. How could you play rugby? I mean, talk about the rugby scrums.
I know.
They're all right on top of each
lacrosse.
Other. Talk about like the open wounds.
Yeah, lacrosse, I mean, but they're still on top of each other, checking each other. I know they have helmets on, but it's just a cage. It's not a face shield or anything like that.
Right, right.
I don't know. It's crazy. You mentioned the NFL. I've got a couple of NFL thoughts I want to get to, okay. And we'll do that when we come back. Let's open up the phone lines for you to join us this morning. 401-737-1287 is the phone number.
Our phone lines are open.
That's 401-737-1287. The text line is open as well this morning. It's 37937.
Our text line is open.
We'll take a break. We'll get to your phone calls when we come back on Cordishi and Coit on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.